Hello, and welcome to the Lighthouse Chats podcast, where myself and members of a media production team run by young creatives discuss various areas of mental health. My name is Ellen, and I will be your host throughout this series, running alongside Mental Health Awareness Week 2021, hopefully encouraging the importance of open discussion and supporting each other. Enjoy! So today on this podcast, we will be discussing relationships and the effect this has on mental well-being. With me today are three members of Lighthouse Media. We have Olive.
Hi.
George.
Hi.
And Jake.
Hello.
So today I've chosen relationships as our subject matter because although I know it isn't in itself a mental health condition, I believe it's still a really important subject to discuss because, of course, it can lead on to so many different problems for somebody's mental health. The Mental Health Foundation defines relationships as the way in which two or more people are connected or the state of being connected. So this kind of highlights to me that it isn't just necessarily romantic relationships. I think for me, whenever I think about relationships, I just assume like a boyfriend or a girlfriend or something like that. But I guess it's also important to note like friendships and family connections. And I think that's quite often underplayed with the importance. Because of course, if you're in a friendship and that's under strain, that can cause just as much stress and anxiety within your day-to-day life than a romantic relationship can.
Yeah, I think definitely friendships and family relationships are like overlooked so much because they just have just as much of an impact on you as someone you actually like might be going out with or whatever the like romantic situation would be.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, at this age, the majority of us are still living at home with our parents. To have like a good relationship with your family is really crucial just for your day-to-day well-being.
Especially over lockdown, because you just see them so much that it's just, if you have a bad relationship, it just sort of affects your whole life.
Yeah, obviously we're all stuck at home with the people we live with, and I feel like being with someone 24/7 is bound to put some sort of pressure on the relationship. Even if you're not living with the person who you're in this like relationship with, I think COVID could put a strain on it. If you're trying to interact digitally, I think sometimes it can be quite tricky to interpret things correctly, and I think that communication failure can be quite a difficult thing.
Yeah, I think lack of communication kind of like kill a lot of relationships and friendships when it's kind of like mixed with other things, because obviously at this age you're a lot more insecure, so if you like fail to communicate, that kind of can build up. It kind of leads on to like a lack of trust.
And I think it's quite easy to misinterpret like texts, for example, or like you react poorly to something that had no intention of causing harm or like causing an argument.
Yeah, and sometimes you just don't have the time to monitor exactly how something's gonna look on a text, especially when you're trying to balance every other relationship in your life as well, like family, friends, and a relationship. I mean, you could mean it completely innocently and someone could just take it the wrong way, and it can just cause a bit of conflict, can't it? When it's just no need. Normally, it's not that deep. It's just a text.
There's no way to like read tone. It can make it so like almost like feel stunted. Like the conversation is just so flat that even if it doesn't lead to an argument, it can just feel so different than actually being together with someone.
Yeah, especially because like if you haven't seen that person in a long time, which in like most of our cases, we haven't seen our friends as often. Like if you haven't seen that person for a long time, they don't know what you could be thinking. And it's just a pain when you can't see someone and then you have to just talk to them just through that sort of medium.
I think what I've experienced as well is it's sometimes with like certain relationships, it's like treading on eggshells and you feel like you have to be kind of very careful about what you're putting. And you have to really think about the ways in which they might read that text differently to how you mean.
Yeah, I get what you mean with that. Just having to, even if you're in that situation where you have to sort of type out a few times over, I don't know, that just bugs me.
Oh yeah, it's very annoying. You're like paranoid that something is gonna like hurt them.
Yeah, and I feel like you have to think about what you're texting them. You're not exactly being yourself towards that person necessarily. And I don't know, is that sort of healthy?
But if you're feeling like that regularly with people that you are close with, probably a good idea to speak to them about it. It could just give you some peace of mind if you hear a response back of them saying, no, like I know that you wouldn't ever say anything to like purposely come across like that, and basically just get some reassurance from them.
Again, it's just linking back to the importance of communication and just saying, even when you are doubting something or you're feeling a bit insecure about something or concerned about how you're talking to them, just communicating with them in the hopes of gaining some kind of reassurance that it is kind of in your head.
Yeah, yeah. Or you might even gain like negative, you know, feedback of them saying something negative. You can sort of take that as, okay, well, at least I reached out and got a definite answer, and then maybe want to stop being friends with this person or like distance myself from them because it just is a stressful like environment to be in. But at least you've got clarity either way.
And I think a big thing as well is that you need to, I think people should accept that relationships change and grow and fizzle out in the same way that everything else does. So for example, like you're obviously the people you're friends with in like high school, you may mature and grow away from them, but perhaps you're like concerned that you can't like break off that attachment.
I completely agree with that. Take for example, your friends in high school. Well, my friends back in high school, we were all a bunch of morons. So now that we've grown up a bit, some are still morons and some have just, you know, changed, like grown up. And I feel like even though those people were so close to you back then, you can't just be like, oh, well, we had a great time being morons 5 years ago, because like you can't be like that forever. So it will just naturally fizzle out because you'll want, you know, you won't want that sort of friendship anymore.
I moved across like the country when I went from high school to college. So that was kind of like a natural break where I feel like I did kind of move on from a lot of people that I knew in high school. And I think for me, that was quite a difficult time of trying to balance like the two relationship groups that I had back home in Leicester and now in Norwich. I don't know if that's something that, say, George, I know you moved from London. I don't know if you ever experienced something like that.
I don't agree with the whole kind of like letting relationships and friendships fizzle out and stuff, because I feel like even if you don't speak to that person as much, you can kind of still maintain like a consistent bond with them. And like losing like someone who even you're not that close friends with anymore, but like losing them completely as a friend, I just don't really get that. Because like, I feel like it's just good to hold on to as many people as possible, because like you never know when you might need them in the future, you know?
Maybe it's not necessarily, you know, completely detaching yourself from someone, but just not being as close.
Yeah, not being like close friends.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I find a lot of people just like completely lose friendships because they just don't see the point in them anymore. You know what I mean? Like, people like move on with their life, obviously, but I don't see why people would completely lose a friendship.
At least something I've experienced is just don't make yourself feel bad for not talking to certain people that often, because I've definitely had that where I've had friends I've had since primary school, since I was like 3, and I'm sort of friends with now, and we'll message each other like every 6 months or once a year. But I definitely felt like a couple of years ago a lot more like I really had to maintain those friendships with people that I obviously still care about and always will and always will have some form of contact with. And I think that's the thing, where you don't have to physically, you know, end a friendship, but just to grow apart, and don't make yourself feel bad for that, because it happens to everyone.
I think that's just a part of getting older, really, though.
I think that's like a perfect example, really, using primary school friends, because there's no way from being that age to now that you're going to continue to be best friends.
Yeah, definitely. And I think for me, what you mentioned about like not guilt tripping yourself, that was a massive factor, because I think obviously I moved away from Leicester, but I still felt very connected to that place and the people who I grew up with. So I still wanted to have a relationship with them. And it wasn't like, no, I've moved to Norwich, I'm never talking to any of you again, like that's it, we're done. It was just a case of, we're both busy, but then don't feel guilty about that. And I think for me, there was a lot of like, I don't know if this is the right way of putting it, but it was quite draining, because obviously I had like a couple of separate groups in Leicester and then obviously a Norwich one. And for me, keeping up with it at a time where I was kind of struggling with my mental health anyway, I found quite an exhausting thing to have to do. And I no longer enjoyed these relationships and these interactions because I felt like I was doing it because I had to and because it was like the right thing to stay in contact. But I was in a headspace where I didn't have any energy to give to anyone else. I don't know if that resonates with you at all.
I think in that situation, it must sort of become quite like really hard to juggle like all those different groups, especially when, you know, some of them are in Leicester. Like I struggle when most of my mates are in Norwich. So like, I can't imagine how hard that must have been.
Yeah, I get that where, because I moved from Brighton to Norwich in August and a lot of my friends will always say like, oh, when you come down, like stay at mine for a couple of nights or like, let's do this or I'll come up and visit. But then when you've got like five or six different people all saying, stay at mine for a couple of nights, it's sort of just difficult. Like I'm trying to like balance it all. But yeah, I think moving away can be difficult to like balance the fact that you have an equally as busy life when you leave. But it takes like significantly more effort to see anyone.
And for me, it was like, not only would whose house would I stay at, but who would I actually see? Like when I left, everything was fine. But then when you come back, all of a sudden there's all these like politics you weren't aware of and so-and-so's fallen out with them and they're not going out anymore. So that's awkward. And I found that I had to try and like hop around like everybody else's relationships just to try and talk to our friends.
But then again, you're treading on eggshells, aren't you? Because you don't know what's different. You might just, someone might miss something and then you put your foot in it and then you cause some sort of aggro.
I was researching some like signs of toxic friendships. One of the kind of signs of a toxic friend is if they're so invested in drama and they want to like create this conflict because they thrive in like the chaos of people falling out. They encourage arguments basically. And I think in high school, you can get so wrapped up with like drama and like what's going on. You don't realize when a toxic friend is almost like pushing for your kind of downfall is the wrong word, but pushing for you to fall out with another person.
I mean, downfall is kind of an accurate way to sort of describe the feeling when it does happen in high school, because you feel like it's the end of the world, but it's like, obviously not.
Yeah, I've definitely experienced friendships like that in secondary school. And it's just like, I guess like Jake just said, but it feels like actually the end of the world. And as soon as you leave, everything that happened is like completely irrelevant forever. So it's like weird to look back and think about how you'd be so upset or so invested in certain things that are just completely pointless.
Because the environment's so toxic that like the next week something else has happened and like what happened last week is just nothing because no one cares anymore and they want to, you know, start aggro.
Yeah, for sure. And I think high school especially, and as well as moving into college, to be fair, it's such a tricky time because everybody's trying to work out who they are and they're trying to get your own kind of sense of identity and, you know, what music you like and what fashion you like. And it's that really tricky thing of, as well as trying to find out who you are and your own identity, you're trying desperately hard to fit in. And I think that can be really challenging to try and find your sense of self as well as trying to conform with what's going on.
Yeah, I think high school really stunts your ability to be your own individual person because you're kind of like all the same. You do the same thing as everyone else every day. And when you get to college, for me, that's when I sort of started to be more like what I wanted to be. Because, you know, you're doing something you actually want to do with people who also want to do the same thing. And you're all growing out of that toxic stage of high school. And it's just better.
I think the biggest kind of notable change, it's quite a small thing, but I think it's important when it comes to like identity and establishing better relationships, was the fact that in high school, you were all wearing like a uniform. But then in college, obviously, you could express yourself through what you wore. And I think that chance to express yourself differently allowed yourself to be more accepting of who you were and start creating relationships that were safer spaces for you, I guess.
Yeah, I had a friendship group in at the end of secondary school that was Like, looking back on it now, I would absolutely never get myself into a friendship like that. But it was so toxic. And like, even to the point where I wouldn't say what music I was listening to, I would just know that they would be like, I can't believe you like that, or like judge the things you wear. And these people, like my best friend, and then they'd want you to, like, I don't know, like prove yourself to be cool to hang out with them. And as soon as I left secondary school, I just cut them all off and have never spoken to any of them since. But like, that's the type of thing where now, if I met people like that, I would just not speak to them. But it feels like such an isolated, like, bubble and contained in secondary school that you sort of need something to like cling on to feel like, I don't know, you've got something and you're not on your own.
They've almost like beating you down to make themselves feel better and like criticizing your like music taste or your preferences just to kind of make them more secure in themselves.
Yeah, it's just so weird because it is the sort of thing where I think probably everyone can look at their friendships from that time and just think, why was I friends with them? Like, they're all so horrible.
Yeah, definitely. So I think like as well as communicating with your relationships, I think that kind of acceptance is really important, just accepting people for who they are and not judging people based on like fashion choices or music choices or anything silly like that. Just say, do I like them as a person? Are they kind? Do I get on with them? They're like the most important things. Who cares if you have the same fashion choice or if you listen to the same music? At the end of the day, it's just not important. Like, people should be able to do and be who they want and still be able to build relationships.
I think they're like the biggest kind of contributor to like insecurity and when you're older, because I feel like when people are like kind of condescending towards your opinions on things and your tastes, like I feel like it can just make you really like question yourself. I think that disrupts that kind of journey to discovering who you are even more, because you feel like you need to perform to like this societal standard, when in reality that person's opinion is probably like nothing more than that, really. And everyone's kind of different, aren't they? So.
And of course, it's dangerous because the more you're trying to conform, the more you can kind of forget to look after yourself. So, say if you start spiraling into concern about what you look like, eating disorders may develop. Or, say, if somebody is being controlling towards you about like what you wear or what kind of thing music you listen to, then you begin to kind of be a subject of that toxic and kind of abusive relationships, which isn't good. And I think we were relatively lucky because I think when we grew up, social media was only just starting to be a thing. Obviously, we still had like Instagram and Snapchat like at the early stages during high school, but I think kids who are in high school now, with the amount of social media exposure, kids and young adults are going to be using social media as a way to almost like advertise those relationships.
Yeah, I think so. And it also just makes it seem like you can't be happy if you're not in a relationship, which is like, I don't know. I mean, it is so pushed, not just with individuals, but with media and stuff. But it's just such an old-fashioned viewpoint that it's just, I guess when you're younger, it's similar to looking for a group of friends to sort of give you some sort of safety and identity that you'll want a relationship. But then you just end up like rushing into one and being not happy, which just like makes it worse long term.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced this, but I think it got to a certain age, like more during college, but also towards the end of high school, people's relationships at that age start to get more intimate. And I think there's a lot of gossiping and pressure going on about how far you've gone with who and if you've done stuff that like other people have done. And I think that guilt tripping can cause you to rush into situations where you might be uncomfortable, or situations that you're not yet ready for, and that can be really dangerous.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think that's
Yeah,
because of
people.
social media, though. I was just saying, I think that's because of like social media. I think it's like desensitized people to kind of like everything. So people kind of need to, they feel like they need to like perform to like a standard. But it kind of leads to people like doing things like that a lot younger than they would have done.
Yeah, so what is it that they're being desensitized to? Sorry, they're like viewing
Well,
stuff on.
like they're viewing stuff online, like a lot more kind of like risque than, you know, people would have done in the past.
Right.
So I feel like that's why people are kind of like so sexualized at such a young age now. You know what I mean? That's why people are like sleeping with other people at like 14, like, which is, yeah.
So as like a society, we become it, there's a lot less kind of taboo around sex at a younger age, and I think that's
yeah.
Do you think that's like pushing people to be more sexual
before at a younger their time? Age, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's not, it's just everything is like that. It's like it's just kind of like something in a long line. It's like violence. Like if you'd gone back to, I don't know, the 1970s, like an 18 rated film would be like a 12 rated film today. Like everything has just kind of been pushed forward in age. Like people are just getting younger and younger with like everything.
Which is almost backwards if we're all living longer. We've got more time to do it later on. For some reason we're all doing it earlier.
People will try and seem grown up when you're in secondary school or whenever. And because it's so much easier to fake on social media, you can just post whatever. It like the age limit of wanting to seem grown up is getting raised and raised. So, you know, in like say 10, 20 years ago, people might have wanted to seem grown up in year 7 by wearing some makeup. And then 10 years after that, it's, you know, that's been done and that's just the normal. And then now it's, you know, oh, you're in year 7. And oh, yeah, obviously you wear makeup because everyone does. And then it sort of gets pushed to a younger and younger age of like, oh, well, then now you have to start having sex younger because that's how you'll seem grown up and seem quote unquote cool to the people like you're surrounded by.
Yeah, I agree. And it's just from what that age is exposed to through film and TV, I think.
Just quickly linking back to COVID and romantic relationships within COVID. So obviously we've discussed how it's challenging to maintain relationships due to not being able to see each other and feeling disconnected, so having to interact digitally. But I think in cases where people do live with their partners, perhaps a little bit older, perhaps not. I know a few people who have like moved in with their boyfriends and girlfriends over lockdown. I think during this time, relationships have become a relatively dangerous thing because the pandemic has trapped so many people kind of with each other. And I think with rising tensions, there's like bound to be people left vulnerable in households or relationships that they can't necessarily escape due to lockdown. The BBC say that it's thought cases of domestic abuse have increased 20% during the lockdown, as many people are now trapped at home with their abuser. So there's lots of helplines out there that you can go to, not only if you believe you're suffering domestic abuse, but also if you just feel you need to educate yourself further on it, if you're not sure what you're experiencing is normal or toxic. So I think that can be quite a challenging aspect of it, like identifying whether or not what you're going through is toxic.
Yeah, I fully agree. And I think it can go both ways where either gender could think that whatever they're experiencing is normal. Even if it's not physical abuse, more like manipulation can just go so unnoticed. You just don't think to question it. You just think, oh, that's normal.
Yeah, definitely. And I think manipulation, as you say, can be so subtle sometimes. Even if you don't notice it yourself, say your friend points it out, like you realize they shouldn't be doing that, right? Like that's not normal behavior. And then you kind of have that moment of realization, like, but that's always been like that. I thought that was just kind of fine, you know? So say like the control over like, say social media, say they have your passwords to your account or something, or they like check your phone, or they like go through and like, it's an invasion of privacy. And I think a lot of times people don't realize that that level of lack of trust is a really toxic behavioral trait and something that shouldn't be accepted within relationships.
I think sometimes when it's kind of like a lot of emotion involved, especially like when it's like bottled up, like there's been other things that happened in the past, I feel like sometimes like those kind of like toxic traits, which could be seen as like manipulation and things, I think they can kind of become part of the relationship without either person kind of realizing what it is until like later when they look back on it, like when there's kind of all that involved in it.
Yeah, so do you mean like, well, you kind of get used to it, or
like people being kind of like jealousy and things like that. Like some relationship people like look for each other's phones and they just think that's completely normal. And at the time, both people don't really see that as an issue. But then like later on, you look back on it and think that really that is kind of like not good, but you don't really realize it at the time. And you're kind of in the midst of it. Because like it's easy to like point out what is manipulation and what kind of is considered as like not good things to do, but it's a lot harder when you're actually in the kind of like what's happening.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point to make, actually, that it's not always clear to the person at the time while they're in that relationship, because obviously they do care about that person and they're like committed within that relationship, and they might not want to notice it as bad, or they might not realize that it's a bad behavior.
Yeah.
Especially because having actual trust in the person you're in a relationship with is probably like the biggest part of having a healthy relationship. If one of you or both of you are looking through the other one's phone, like you need to look at why you're doing that, because is it that you think that person is cheating on you? And if you think that, speak to them about it. If the reason you're not doing that is because you fear them like becoming violent or aggressive, that's where the charities come in handy, and you can contact people and get professional help for those problems.
So I think it's just communication on both sides before it gets to that point. And if it does get to that point, you know, it's not too late to just speak to them about it, even though it might feel like, you know, it's gone so far that it can be harder to bring it up.
Make sure that there is always that constant communication. If you feel insecure or if you feel concerned that something isn't right, to communicate that with whoever else is in that relationship.
Yeah, and you should be able to do that anyway. If you can't communicate to them about something like that, then you should probably step back and be like, if I can't even talk to you about something I'm not okay with, should I even be involved with you like this?
Allowing yourself to question it and allowing yourself to perhaps doubt whether or not it is the right thing to be in.
Yeah, 100%.
If it is something you're insecure about, even if it's like a new partner and it's carried on from an old relationship, if they really care about you, it shouldn't be a problem listening to how you feel and acknowledging that you have had previous problems and that this might still resonate slightly. So yeah, I think just don't be afraid to communicate how you feel.